Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Even so, Lord Jesus, come, as the song says. Wow, it's good to be able to enter into a time of praise and worship again this morning, knowing that someday we're all going to stand around the throne with the Father and sing together, rejoice together, and what an awesome day that will be. I know that all of you here this morning are looking for that day, looking for that opportunity, and waiting and just doing whatever God has called you to do in the meantime. So, wow. Bring it on, Lord. We're ready. But there's a lot of work to be done yet. There's still a whole lot that needs to be done. So we find ourselves at this place where we know that the Lord is returning for a spotless bride, and we know the bride isn't spotless. And so we, again, this morning, want to look at the scriptures and see what God has for us this morning. I'm going to be sharing from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to the end of the chapter. Luke 24, 36 to the end of the chapter. And I titled the message this morning, In the Waiting Room. In the waiting room. And I was blessed. The last number of Sundays we had, Ray shared the thoughts on mission faith giving. And last Sunday we had the missions conference where there was a lot of thought given to the whole idea of getting the gospel out into the world and how we do that. Dave shared the response and the offering. And wow, that is great. And one of the things that I wanted to share last Sunday, and I forgot it, and was just a thank you to all of you who pitched in with Steve Nisley's funeral. Once again, just seeing the church come together and realizing that there is more here than just a financial giving, but there are people who are willing to give their time and their energy and their effort when there is a need like that. The undertaker from Buch remarked numerous times of how much of a blessing it was to be able to work with this congregation in doing that funeral. So thank you to all of you, the food committee, the ushers, the trustees, the graveyard committee. Just thank you again for that. So I know that we all realize that there's more than just financial giving when it comes to reaching out to the lost and dying world, and recognizing that God has placed us here in this time, in this era, this portion of time to share together here at New Covenant and as a body of believers. And I know that when I talk about the waiting room, we all know what a waiting room is. We've all been there. We've all had a time where we have sat in a waiting room. Maybe we sat there for hours. We may have sat there for just what seemed like days sometimes when we're waiting on someone. I know that that they can be long times. They can be trying times. They can be tiring times sitting in the waiting room. And all of us at a time or another have been in the waiting room of God, where it seems like God spoke to us. He brought to our mind something that was to happen or something he wanted us to do, but it just seems like things didn't come together, like it's taking time, like it's taking just this waiting period of waiting to experience what God has for us. We have the account in Genesis of Abraham and Sarah where they were told that they would have a son, and we see how that worked out. They were in the waiting room. They waited a long time and finally took things into their own hands and made a mess of it. And so my challenge this morning is that while we're in the waiting room, that we continue to wait on God and we continue to hear him and continue to get direction as we wait in the waiting room. And while we're in the waiting room, there's other things to do. We don't just sit in the waiting room and do nothing in the waiting room, but we learn to hear God. And I believe that when Jesus shows up in the waiting room, we will know him. And if we're going to answer his call to our lives, then we need to know his touch. And so some of this scripture here will be about the waiting room. Some will be about knowing Jesus in the waiting room. And I had to think of, well, I'll get to that then. But let's read the first portion of verses there in Luke 24, 36 to 43. It says this: "Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them." What were they saying? They were talking about how Jesus had been crucified, and now some people had seen him. He showed up to the men on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking about this thing. And suddenly Jesus is standing there in the room with them, in the midst of them. And he said to them, "Peace to you." And they felt nothing like peace at this moment, because in the next verse it says, "But they were terrified and frightened." I mean, these guys weren't just frightened. They were terrified and frightened. They were scared skinny. And it's supposed that they had seen a spirit when Jesus showed up in that room. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe Jesus showed up in your room and it frightened you. Maybe Jesus showed up and he is calling you to do something. He is calling you maybe from the conference last weekend. Maybe he is calling you to go somewhere or to do something that scares you. And you're wondering, is this really the Jesus that I know, that I'm hearing from? Is this really Jesus that is speaking to me? And maybe you're frightened. Maybe you're scared this morning. Maybe it just doesn't, you don't know what it is that God is going to have you do and how it's going to work out. I thought about how that there was a time many years ago I went to the doctor's office, and I had an appointment. I came in and put my name down, and I sat down in a chair, and I proceeded to sit there for the next hour and a half. And in that hour and a half, I just somewhere in towards the end of that time, they came out and said, "What's your name, and what time are you supposed to be here?" And all of a sudden, I discovered that they had forgotten or had somehow misplaced my appointment. And so it wasn't long till they had me worked in. But just sitting in that waiting room, and I'll go on with that story towards the end of the message here this morning, but maybe you're here this morning, and it feels like you're sitting in that waiting room and you have been forgotten. Maybe you have been praying for a loved one. Maybe you have been praying for a mate, some of you singles. Maybe you have been praying for the salvation of one of your friends or a relative, a family member. And it feels like God has forgotten you. It feels like you're sitting in that waiting room and there's just nothing happening. And yet God is saying, "Be patient, wait on me." And you start to question, did I really hear God? Did I really hear Jesus? And maybe you're asking that question this morning. And just as Jesus called his disciples to check the facts, to check it out, to see whether or not it was him, that it was speaking to him, he's doing the same for you and I today. He's telling us to check the facts. Does what you're hearing, is it lining up with the Word of God? Does your spirit have peace with what God is saying to you? So is God calling you to do something? Is he calling you to speak to someone whom you're not getting opportunity to speak to about the gospel message? And the first thing I think we need to do is to be assured that what you're hearing is you're hearing from the Spirit of God, and that you're hearing from Jesus Christ himself. Philippians 4:7 says that the peace that passes all understanding, does your spirit identify with it? Is your spirit at peace? Do you identify with that peace? Are you recognizing that this is from God? 1 John 4:1 says, test the spirits, whether they are of God. So we test the spirits by lining it up with the Word of God. Is what I'm seeing, is what I'm hearing, does it line up with the Word of God? So maybe you're here this morning and God has given you, or you felt like God gave you direction, and it seems like nothing's happening, and you're sitting in the waiting room. Did you hear from God? Was it Him? Was it Jesus that spoke to you? And so in verse 39 here, we see He says to them, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. And see, for the Spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have, as you see that I have. So, first of all, in checking and knowing, is this Jesus that is speaking to you, is first of all, knowing Him, handling Him, having a relationship with Him, experiencing Him, knowing what His voice sounds like, knowing what His touch feels like, is handling Him. And He gives us that invitation to handle Him. And just like the doctor, when you sit in the waiting room at a doctor's office, you're on their time. So it is with God. When God calls you, when God makes things happen, when He orchestrates things in your life, you're on His time, not your time. I couldn't walk back into the doctor's office and say, I'm here and I'm going to have my time now. That doesn't work. But don't we do that with God sometimes? Isn't that where we find ourselves once in a while with God? We're saying, listen, this is taking way too long. I need to act on this. I am tired of waiting and I want some action. I've done it. We do that. And we stop listening and waiting, and we demand that God come through. Waiting on God's timing is very difficult at times. Waiting on His timing is extremely difficult. If we are going to make Jesus known, then we need to know Him. And sometimes He will allow us in that waiting room for us to connect with Him. He will allow us in that waiting room for time for us to develop. It's not that the situation or all that needs time, but it needs time for you, for me and you and I, for us to develop in the waiting room. And this is a point I want to get to this morning is, sometimes when we find ourselves in the waiting room, then we will just sit there and wait. And I do not believe that is what God wants us to do this morning. I believe that while we are in the waiting room, there still is a call that God has placed on you and my lives. And that call is to get the gospel message out to the world. We are witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Then we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. There may be, maybe this morning God is calling you to go to another place. Maybe He's calling you to go to a foreign land. Maybe He's calling you to minister right there in the doctor's office. Maybe He's calling you to minister wherever you're at this morning. But if He's calling you somewhere else, and it doesn't seem like the time is right yet, don't do nothing. Don't do nothing because it seems like what you think you should be doing is not happening at the moment. There is still a call that God has placed on our lives. And that is to get the gospel message out. When you're in the waiting room, don't do nothing. There are things to do while we wait. You are a witness no matter what you are waiting on. You are a witness no matter what you are waiting on. So it looks here in the scripture, as we move on into verse 44, once Jesus was satisfied that the disciples had received the message, or that they understood Him, they knew it was Him, they were now rejoicing. It says they were still somewhat fearful with joy and marveled that this was actually Jesus standing in front of them. And this morning, maybe you're in that waiting room and Jesus is standing in front of you and He's saying, just trust me, touch me, know me, and I will give you the power that you will need. Looking on in verse 44, then He said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And this is a prayer that I pray for all of us and for myself many times. Lord, open my understanding to know the scriptures, to understand the scriptures, to comprehend the scriptures. I remember the biggest change that happened for me when I got saved at age 25. The biggest outstanding change that I experienced was when I opened my Bible. I had read my Bible before, but it didn't make that much sense to me. But after the Holy Spirit came within me and I opened my Bible, and all of a sudden the Word was alive. It was real. It spoke. And the Spirit identified that within me. So pray that He opens our understanding that we might comprehend the Scriptures. So He did. For the disciples, He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." And verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And this is where I got this thought of being in the waiting room, is this here place that the disciples found themselves. Jesus had been crucified. He is now risen. And now all of a sudden the scriptures make sense to them. It all started to come together. And once this whole plan, once they had the knowledge of what happened and they understood, He tells them to wait. He tells them to wait. I can't imagine how difficult that would have been. The disciples had the right message. They had, but they did not yet have the power to live it out. And this is where this deviates a little bit from where we're at this morning, because I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, never let it be said otherwise, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes within you. Amen? Have you experienced that? That when you accept Jesus Christ, at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within you and empowers you to be all that God wants you to be. It empowers you to be what you could not be before that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So here they were. They did not yet have the Holy Spirit at that point, but they were told to wait. And so, unfortunately, I think many believers live at this place today where they have accepted Jesus Christ, but have not acknowledged or tapped into or used the availability of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it becomes more of a head knowledge thing than it does a moving in the Spirit of God and being led by God and allowing His Spirit. Have you ever felt stuck there between what you know is true and what you're actually experiencing? You know it's true, but something just feels off. Like there's supposed to be more than this, more than going through the motions, more than trying harder, more than knowing the right answers. There's more to it than that. That's the Spirit that God wants us to tap into. That is the Spirit that is within it. God wants us to tap into that will lead and will direct and will guide and will give you power. We believe in Jesus. We have heard the truth. And we know we're called to something more. But instead of living boldly, we feel hesitant. Why? Instead of living boldly, we feel hesitant. Why? Why is it? The power is available. God has given it to us. There may be things that God is calling you to do, that he is preparing you for, and you're in that waiting room, and you're waiting for that time. So let me say this. Clarity is not the same as power. Clarity is not the same as power. Information doesn't equal transformation. Information does not equal transformation. We all know people who are full of information, but they're not transformed. We know people. We've met them. They have all the information. They know everything. But there's no transforming of the heart. There's no transformation. There's no boldness. There's no just moving beyond the natural into the supernatural and experiencing God moving that way. He says in verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Here's the place. This is the place where we can find ourselves running ahead of God if we're not careful. Acts 16:6. We have the account there where Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel in Asia. I don't understand that. He was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And then they tried to go to another city, and the Spirit withstood them. And I wonder what that looked like. I wonder what that felt like. They felt like they were going to go to, they were on fire and going to Asia to preach the word. And the Spirit forbid them to go. Eventually, they were led to another place. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you felt like God had a call and he had given you direction and you start out on that path. I remember a time way back in the beginning of New Covenant, early on, there was the church had started in Canada, and they asked for someone to come and to help there. And Karen and I prayed about it. We felt like God was leading us in that direction. And suddenly there was somebody else that filled that call. And it's like, well, I don't understand, Lord. But then there was a waiting time. And then there was other things that happened that made sense. And so, suppose right now, God just wants you to raise your children. God wants you to be a mother. God wants you to be a father. To raise your children to the honor and the glory of God that they can in turn change the world. I'm speaking to you mothers this morning. I know it's not Mother's Day, but getting an early start, I want to affirm you in the call, the mission that God has given you for your children, because I know that it's hard. I know that there are times, I've not been a mother myself, but I've walked beside one. And I know that there are some extremely difficult days for you. And I'm sorry. But don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Because they'll grow up. And they'll be what God wants them to be. And you will be led to lead them in the right way. Like Esther, you're here for a time, such a time as this. Why is it that you can know the truth and still struggle to live it? You can understand forgiveness and still wrestle with bitterness. You can believe in God's power and still live cautiously. Why is that? So as we look at the rest of the scripture here, looking at verse 50 through 53, it says, And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. All of a sudden, this Jesus, whom they thought was going to set up his kingdom here on earth, but I think as these disciples understood the scripture that Jesus had spoke to them, we'll see their response to this, but all of a sudden he leaves them. He leaves them. And I know that there have been times in my life where I felt like things were going along real well, and all of a sudden it's like, God, where are you? Where are you? All of a sudden, he left them. So it's kind of a beautiful moment, but it's also kind of an unsettling moment for the disciples. Because on one hand, they have seen the risen Christ, and they've heard his teaching. They've received his blessing as he blessed them. But on the other hand, he was leaving. And it seemed like he was not there for them at the moment. Maybe you're in the waiting room, and it seems like God has left you there, forgotten about you. Have you been praying for direction? You have clarity, but do not feel empowered to move yet. God said, wait. Maybe you're here this morning, like I said earlier, you've prayed for healing. You've prayed for loved ones' salvation. You've prayed for a mate. And God said, wait. God said, wait. It is a challenging time, a challenging place to be. But as we look here in verse 52, it says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And I believe this is where I want to call us to, that when we're in the waiting room, one of the things I believe God wants us to do in the waiting room is exactly this, that it came to that they worshiped him and they were filled with great joy and they were praising and blessing God in the waiting room. When we are filled with joy and we are praising and we are blessing God, instead of saying, woe is me, I tried this and it doesn't come about. I felt like I had direction from God. I've prayed long and it doesn't happen. Woe is me. No, I believe it's time in the waiting room where we rejoice that we are then a witness. And we are witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of the Holy Spirit within us when we are able to rejoice and to worship in that time that we're waiting in the waiting room. I believe that this happened, that they worshiped, they had joy, and they stayed faithful. That's one of the things that I believe, too, as we're in the waiting room, that we stay faithful, because this is a place where we can tend to veer off track when the time of waiting, when it seems that God is silent. Why? Because something had shifted internally within them, and they now saw more clearly what the full picture was, and yet they were still in that waiting time. In the waiting room, when you're waiting for God to move, can you keep showing up? Can you keep trusting? Can you keep worshiping? Because this is where many people drift. Not in the moment of failure, but in the season of waiting. Because you and I both know that waiting can be extremely difficult. So they went back. We see the story ending here, that they went back to Jerusalem and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And I want us to know, this is a point that I don't want us to miss this morning, is that when we're in the waiting room, when we are in the waiting room, there is still a work to be done. There are still people who need to know the Lord. As we go back to the waiting room there at the doctor's office when I was there many years ago, sitting there waiting, and I engaged in a conversation, and maybe this was the purpose, I don't know. God didn't never made it real clear to me, but I engaged in a conversation with a very bitter old man. And I was able to speak, I was able to speak life to him. I kept trying to lead him into a more positive conversation. And I don't know that if that ever changed or had any effect on that man's life, but it was an opportunity that I had while I was sitting in that waiting room waiting, when I could have been bitter and grouchy about it, because I battled those feelings inside. But in that conversation with that bitter old man, hopefully, God was able to use that time and that place for an opportunity for that man to hear something positive, to hear something good. I don't know what the outcome was, because he went to his appointment and I was still waiting. Are you worshiping and praising God in the waiting room? You're a witness. There are people in your life that are lost and they need to know the Jesus that you know. I was amused by my father-in-law's story. As he was vacationing in Florida, they were out walking on a walkway one day and he had a kidney stone attack and he laid down in the grass beside the walkway, writhing in pain. And he made mention, I don't know what the number was, but the amount of people that walked past and never asked him if they could help him. And I wonder this morning, am I so caught up in what is happening to me that I'm not seeing that person lying beside the path that I pass daily? Because I'm bitter about the waiting room. And I'm bitter that I'm waiting and things aren't going my way. And I miss the opportunity for many, many people. You all have people who you are seeing daily who need the good news of Jesus Christ, who just need a little bit of hope, who just need something to hold on to. And you have what they need. Are you offering it to them? Are you offering it to them? Are you still praising God and blessing God in the temple? This is where I want to leave you this morning with that thought. Is just see the people. See the people around you. Know that the Jesus that you know, the one who was crucified, the one who has the nail prints in his hand, who died for you, also died for that person at the gas pump, at the cashier line, at the grocery store, at school, at work, those people that we walk around at work. Do they know? Do they know? So I find that this morning in my own heart, I've been challenged to see. And so I hope that was communicated to you. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to call you Father. We thank you, Father, that you assured us that it is you. When you speak to us, Lord, you will make yourself known to us. And if we inquire, you will make it clear that it is you speaking. Father, I thank you for the waiting rooms that have created us and have made us, have perfected us, Lord, have taken off the rough edges. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to make us into the people that shape us into the people that you want us to be. God, we know that you are able to do far above what we can imagine if we will yield ourselves to your leading, to your direction, to your guidance. Lord, to help us to not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. And you will help us to walk that path. That is a path that people will be able to see you in our circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to lead us in a closing song.